that I turn your heart to the calling of the justified sons of Abraham, or as our Bible translates, the churches of the Gentiles. We could well maybe accept that the churches of the national, because God is calling in the justified sons of Abraham individuals out of every nation. And when he calls them out, they no longer are whatever nation they were under the call, even if they were Israelites. They come over here into friendship in Christ Jesus, in which all are one. A new creature, a creature. And there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. So you, a person, are Galatians, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. Paul, an apostle, not from man, neither through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who loveth him from among the dead, and all the brethren with me, to the ecclesial churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself for our sins, so that he might extricate, deliver us out of the present wickedness, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. I am marveling that you are transferred thus swiftly from that which calls you in the grace of Christ to a different evangel or gospel which is not ours, except it be that some who are deserted you and also to distort the evangel of Christ. I want you to notice here that in the early days of Paul, this ministry, it was possible for people to be disturbed and move, transferred in their faith or conviction or faith. So he is warning against it. But if ever we, Paul says, or a messenger or an angel out of heaven should be bringing an evangel to you besides that which we bring to you, let him be anathema. I believe that a long, long time before I got to understanding what I believe to be the divine revelation in it all. And I want to be talking on that this morning. As we have declared before, and at present I am saying again, if anyone is bringing you an angel besides that which you accepted, let it be anathema. Am I pursuing man or God? Or am I seeking to please man? If I do please man, I will not tell you the truth. So I make known to you, brethren, as to the evangel of gospel which is being brought by me, that it is not in accord with man. For neither did I accept it from a man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This could not be put any clear, I don't believe, and yet, when we approach it, we approach it from various viewpoints, backgrounds, and consequently, as we look at it, we very much color it according to our background of thinking. And it it's a conundrum, a puzzle picture. We get it straightened out in our minds. What Paul is talking about. Will I have trained the Paul of the Greeks who lived in that achievement to set the earth? The meaning and usage of the way we find joy and gospel in the scriptures in Lesson 19. I have endeavored to set forth in Lesson 20 the peacefulness, the calling in the scriptures. Now, again, we have come to the place here where Paul is writing to the Galatians, because he has ministered among them. Paul and Barnabas were separated in the 13th chapter of Acts. This was AD 32. And we, by the Spirit of God, was directed to go into Galatians. And there we ministered for the work of the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God. And he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And he says here that he came to him by revelation of Jesus Christ. And for 7 years up in Galatia, he ministered this gospel of the grace of God. During that time, he called out six ecclesias, or churches, or believers in the gospel of the grace of God. And then we read, when you come on into the 14th chapter of Acts, and this one is really covered in the 13th and 14th chapters of Acts, we'll tell you something else about this ministry. That God opened the door for the nation, for a national. The door of faith. That door of faith has been left open all over the centuries, down to the present time. And goes over to Philippi, receives a special call from God to come over into Macedonia and help them. He goes over into Macedonia, and then on the day of the Sabbath, they went out to the riverside because there was no synagogue in the city. And there they knew that the people would gather for prayer. It was an ancient custom, especially among the Jewish people. They went outside to the riverside, and there are women gathered there, and Paul speaks to them. And the Lord opened Lydia's heart so that she might attend unto the things that Paul said. But thanks to God, in grace, was given that Abraham 430 years to bear the law and the promise of promise, made to him God's righteousness and the seed of sonship, given for faith. Faith for him. When we come, we all come in and then Paul is put in prison, and after his imprisonment, one night, he and Solomon came, the earthquake came, the prison doors opened, and the prisoners were loosened. And the jailer came rushing in and returned to kill himself because he thought they had all escaped. Paul said, "He did no harm, we're all here." He called for life, came in and said, "No matter what decided you to be saved." He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Say, "You're not a priest." Pray good. The promise was made to Abraham just as a Roman Gentile. In uncircumcision, without hope or without God in the world. That was his Sabbath. And Abraham believed God. And it was written to him for righteousness. And he received the spirit of sonship from God. That was grace. It was the gracious feeling of God to Abraham in this. And God blessed Abraham with his father to a time when he would carry this same ministry out among Gentiles, among the nations of the world. And so we find that everyone there who is of faith, everyone who is of faith, they are sons of Abraham. Now listen, when we read that statement, you can add something else to it. Everyone who is of faith. Let us just read the text. Look at it once more, please, as we bring it to our attention this morning in Galatians. The third chapter, let's just give it in the fresh of mind. The third chapter of Galatians, the open is Galatians. Who believes you? The believer by Jesus Christ was blessed and crucified. This morning I want to learn from you. Did you get the faith by works of law or by the hearing of faith? You could add something to faith. Now that doesn't mean that in the gospel of God that they don't have faith. They do have faith. But it is faith with works. But when Paul talks about the hearing of faith here, is faith a part of it? We are. So foolish are you, undertaking in faith, are you now being completed in flesh? So much did you suffer anything? Then surely it also is anything? Purposely, hypothetically, because he had gone into Galatia and preached grace to them, and after he had gone away, here came some of the Israel of God up there, the Jewish teachers, and began to say, how are you, sir? Oh, how are you, sir? We believe and we justify. Well, haven't you been circumcised? Haven't you been baptized? Haven't you observed days and weeks and months and seasons and years? All of that's in there. This is in the camp at all. And says, so, well, you must do all of those things. And Paul, he said, why, how are you being transferred so swiftly from him who called you into the grace of faith into a different doctrine? Which is not another. It's not another. If you have grace, if you have grace, if you have the grace of God, and you believe in grace, and God justifies you, that is that God gives you his righteousness, as he says he does, and you believe it in your heart, what else can you get that's better than that? What else can you get that's better than that? What can you do? What can you do? What else would be a doctor or good news to you? If you have the grace of God, and you believe in grace, and you're justified by faith, as God promises that, and you receive the seed of sonship in your heart, you are a son of God by grace through faith. And then somebody can answer, well, wait a minute now, you have to do this, tell them some of this, don't you want to observe this, don't you have to observe this, and have to listen to that, so you really do that for. You've already got the very best that God has to give you. He has given you his righteousness. He has given you his righteousness. What else can it be beyond that? You have it all. And so was the creation. They have God's righteousness. They were clothed in God's righteousness. They have the fruit of sonship in their hearts crying out aloud. And here comes the ripple of God along. And listen, they were Christians. They were believers. They were teaching the gospel of God, which I Peter, James, and John did. Well, the gospel of God called for a different understanding, recognition, and authority. They are all things that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But they also must be baptized into his name for the remission or pardon of their sins. And they couldn't see how these Galatians could have the remission of their sins or their pardon unless they had been baptized into his name or been circumcised all of their days and months and seasons and years. According to the gospel of God ordained the faith. So, there's that. And they became unsettled and said, well, I guess we ought to do that. And so they began to come first. They began to get over in that. And they were doing that. And so, I'm trying this morning to make this so clear. in the description here that beloved, if God opens your heart and my heart to believe the gospel of His grace, in which God justifies you, that is, that God constitutes you righteous by faith, cleanses you with His righteousness, gives you His righteousness for a faith, and gives you the fear of sonship in your heart, crying out the Father, what can you ask for that was never any more perfect on earth? And that's what the woman, this one said, why he said, are you taking in the spirit? Are you now being completed in flesh? So much you suffer from the grace, and surely it's all very sensitive. He then who is supplying you with the Spirit, and operating with the power among you, which you get the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith. Alright? Accordingly, as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. No! Consequently, that those of faith, these are sons of Abraham. That is, if you have by faith, if I think of that, that is in the door of faith to the nation. He opens it on all our own grace. It shall open today. Light will open, you can open, everyone who will walk by faith and not by sight. The moment you begin to add sight to it, the moment you begin to add detail to it, that moment you fall out of it. Then you have to go along with the principle of the gospel of God. Now the scripture proceeding to know that God is justifying the nation by faith brings before an evangelical gospel to Abraham that in you shall all nations be blessed, so that those of faith are being blessed together with believing Abraham. Well, one more I want to add on to this, and that's chapter 5. Chapter 5. For freedom, Christ brings us. Stand firm then, and do not again enthrall with the yoke of slavery. Now we've heard this all our lives, I know. So listen, beloved, let's get it anchored. There are young men in the ministry with the angel and what we call Christmas work among those who were believing. I had a minister who kept quoting that verse. He'd say, stand firm, man. Do not again walk all in the yoke of bondage. And he would pray, Lord, help them to stand firm and not be again and fall in the yoke of bondage. And I'm sick of it. You know, Brother Wendy, I said, what do you mean by that verse? What do you think that verse means? He said, well, it means sin, of course. Not to be involved in the yoke of bondage, or to be in the bondage of sin again. Paul wasn't talking about sin, man. He was talking about the law and all its works. And here that thing has come down, we grab out a verse of scripture, and we just grind and grind right in the people's hearts and minds, and it's meaning to absolutely contrary to what God has said. And Paul said, for freedom, Christ Jesus, frees you from what? Frees you from the law and all its ordinances and all of its ritual and notice. What Paul said in verse 21. Verse 21 of chapter 4. Verse 21 of chapter 4 of Galatians. Tell me, those wanting to be under law, are you hearing the law? Those wanting to be under law. That's what he's talking about. These people are all the spirit. And then we were talking about getting back on the law, don't you see? And Paul says in chapter 5 then, for freedom, Christ Jesus, things you put on from the law. He says, and firm, firm in your faith. Do not again enthralled in the yoke of bondage for the law. That's what it wants. Lord, I call and send you that if you should be circumcised, Christ will benefit you nothing. And you can add a whole lot to that. You can add circumcision, baptism, sanctification, all the other things. That is the relation to life. That if you have believed the gospel of God, believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and your faith, and been baptized into His name, and you're walking in accord with the commandments and ordinances, you are right in that. That's right. That's correct. But when somebody believes grace over here, and you can't tie that on, that's where the anathema comes in. It's not wrong to preach the gospel of God to Gentiles or Jews. Paul didn't impute it. And they were to fulfill all those ordinances, and they were to do fulfill those ordinances, it's right for them to live in an ordinance. But if they're going to live in the gospel of the grace of God, you have to bring that over there. If I'm over here, you can't have anything without falling out of this. Look at the Galatians of the Lord. And now, I am attesting again to every man who is circumcising that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And here again, we come face to face with the problem again. And every once in a while, I find it just turned upside down and clear around. Just a few Sundays ago, I had some young folks here, and when I had talked on justification, in part, the questions were asked right there. Well, nobody kept the law. Nobody kept the law. Well, I have already sent it forth, clear and plain, in, lesson 19. That we're going to look through again at just a statement that you can see what it means by living in accord with the law. In Luke, look to Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. Now watch this. Here is your commentary on the matter of keeping the law. There came to be in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the region of Eliab, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name is Elizabeth. And they were both just and righteous in front of God, doing in all the precepts or commandments and the righteous statutes of the Lord blameless. And I said, nobody keeps the law. What about those things? That's what all of them did back there who were in relationship with God under the cover of the law. They were walking in the precepts, the commandments, and the righteous statutes of the law. And there was Zechariah and his wife in Israel doing that blamelessly before God. And they said, well, who are the people of the law? Well, come in and confuse our thinking here when they have the scriptures to clarify that they did. But we want some of it. That was all right for them to do that. And it was all right for everybody who receives the gospel of God according to the gods. According to the gods. The gospel of God. According to the gods. Right. They must do those things. They must walk in accord with those things. For that is where their righteousness consists. That when you walk by faith and not by sight, like Abraham did, the moment you add that, you fall out of words. You run back to the other words. Abraham didn't have any law. He didn't have any commandments. He didn't have any ritual and precepts to walk. He walked by faith and not by sight. And so Paul tells us in Galatians, continuing on here in chapter 5, as we find it, 9, accepting again to every man who is circumcised, that he is a relative of the whole law. All those things are important to the one who believes the gospel of God. So we have to go out in Colorado. Or Oregon.
A man came up to me at the game, he stood on grace one night. He said, Brother Larry, I must talk to you. I must talk to you. I said, I'm glad to talk with you. We got together for months. And so we went down to the YMCA and had a meeting. I remember that very well because I fought over time and had three balls. So we got in there to talk to him and said the thing, and we spent about 3 hours. And he came to me and he said, you know, Brother Larry, you said last night that we're not under law. But he said, the Apostle Paul said, you are better to do the whole law. You are better to do the whole law. And I said, where did you read that? Well, I don't know, but I know a thing about it. You are better to do the whole law. And finally I said, well, suppose we read it. And we read it. And the man was just dumbfounded. He said, I didn't know that we got that. You see, we get from the partial praise out. Where Paul is hearsay, and the same thing he said, the other man who is circumcised. In relationship to the gospel of grace. That's what he's talking about. He said, well, it's in the whole law. He must alone with all of his ordinances. A sentence from Christ for you who have been justified in law. You fall out of grace. For he instead of living the expectation of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision is of Abrahamism, nor uncircumcision, but faith of living through the law. Therefore, it sees in glory that when Paul went out to preach grace, he didn't care on the baptism of circumcision, sabbatism, or any of the other isms. He didn't care on with any of the precepts or commandments or ordinances or rituals. That was out of the picture and pointed everyone back to Abraham, who was the father of all who believe. And it is in faith and faith alone, apart from that. And everyone then who believes, beloved, they receive God's righteousness by their faith and the fear of sonship. And they came in regardless if they were Jews or regardless if they were Gentiles. If they came in there, the Jew left the Jew with. The Gentile left the Gentile with. They could no more say, I'm a Jew or I'm a Gentile. They became sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. They were all one. They were all equal in their relationship to one another. That's in grace. But you can't take that and put it over on this in the gospel of God again. It must be left in its place and in its own. Well, most scriptures will show you that and we can prove. And that's Romans, the fourth chapter, please. Let us just read carefully, please, in the fourth chapter of Romans. Talking about the blessing of righteousness came through Abraham. Let's begin with verse 9. Chapter 4, Romans 4, verse 9. This happiness then, is it for the circumcision or for the uncircumcision also? For we are saying that Abraham, faith is reckoned for righteousness. How then is it reckoned? Being in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision. But in uncircumcision. And he obtained the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which was in uncircumcision, for him to be the father of all those who are believing through uncircumcision. For righteousness to be reckoned to men. And the father of the circumcision. Not for those of the circumcision only, but to those who are observing the elements of the faith in the footprints of our father Abraham, in uncircumcision. Abraham believed in grace and received the righteousness of God by faith. Later he was circumcised, so he became the father of the circumcision under the covenant of circumcision. But that didn't change the thing then. Over here, the Gentile believed and was justified through faith. And the circumcised man, the Jew, he could believe and be justified out of his faith. But when he did, he was the Jew. And he and the Gentile became one, sons of God, the justified sons of Abraham, by faith. And then, about their allotment, they don't have time to go on the fence, but they have their allotment with Abraham, who is the enjoyer of the allotment of the world. A world of what? A world of justified sons, walking by faith, like we walk by faith. they will be his world of justified sons living by faith and walking by faith in the earth. They don't have any calling and allotment to do in heaven. They're going to be right here on earth with Abraham to walk through the earth as the glorified sons of God, justified sons of Abraham, and to display to the Gentile nations during the millennial kingdom what they will be over in the new earth, way beyond the millennial kingdom in the new creation. They're here to display. They're here to show what they will be. Why? Because during the millennial kingdom, the gospel will be preached. Grace, not a word. The gospel of God will be preached. Repentance and baptism into the name of Jesus Christ for the pardon of sin. And that goes on through the millennial kingdom with sacrifices and the law and its ordinances, the Sabbaths, and all of that. Right on to the world of the kingdom until the nations are ready to step out by faith and become the justified sons of Abraham, young in the new creation, beyond the great white throne judgment in the new earth, all the new heavens and the new earth. So, God is going to have the justified sons walking with Abraham through the earth, this place, the wonderful blessing of justification. Glorified sons of God. For to reveal to the nations what they will be ultimately in God's great purpose. Now when we take these and put them up in heaven, what do we do? We're just mixing it with the calling and the allotment of the church, which is the body of Christ. What is it for? To make the manifold wisdom of God known to the sovereigns and authorities among the celestial. And to display, to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to us among the celestials up there. We display it up there. While the justified sons of Abraham display God's wonderful blessing and grace down here. On the earth. So we wrap them all up in our own faith. We're all on this. I trust I have put some things together that are enabling you to receive a rich blessing of understanding in rightly dividing these promises of God in the time and place where God has ordained. And I want you to do Christ's study through lesson 22 because I have placed many years of labor on. For the benefit, not for my benefit. I thank God for the blessing He has bestowed upon those things. But I want everyone to enjoy. That's my chief desire in all of my life. To be a blessing to us. May God bless it to your mind. To look forward to your fellowship next Sunday. May God bless you and keep you in His loving care. Let us pray. I wish you Heavenly Father, we thank you for a moment and we could come together and call attention to these various teachings of thy word of truth. We pray that we may have your trust to them in the hearts and minds of this people. Thine revelation in its various callings, allotments, blessings. Bless thy loving Father, thou wilt bless each one in the cause of their calling, that they may see thy great purpose work through. Keep us by thy power, protect us, our loving Father, in thy providential care. May thy love fill each heart, and thy grace superabound, we pray, our Father, with deeper realization and appreciation. May thy peace dwell in our hearts and our apprehensions. We humbly pray with thanksgiving and praise all in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
John, all the days. And all thanks and praise be unto thee, our God and Father, in the blessed name of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.